Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
MAC Powder Kiss Lipstick is matte reinvented. The new matte formula is where matte meets moisture, giving you the zero shine look of a matte lipstick with an instant long-term hydration and a weightless, cushiony texture. The velvety soft matte colors glide on effortlessly with a wide range of shades that are sure to complement any skin tone. Head to your nearest MAC location to meet your matte today or shop at maccosmetics.com.
When Natasha and Daniel meet, they're both at a crossroads in life. With just 24 hours before her family's deported from the U.S., Natasha wrestles between love and logic while the two spend the day together discovering a magnetic chemistry. Fall in love with this modern love story starring Yara Shahidi and Charles Melton. The Sun is Also a Star, only in theaters May 17th.
As I can see, I wanna keep you here, laying next to me, sharing my love between the sheets. Ooh, baby, baby, feel your love surrounding me.
You're not a real G if you don't sing that part. You got to do it just like that.
Making love between the sheets.
I hope everybody's paid their taxes. Hello, good morning.
To all my ladies in the place with styling.
Allow grace, me to allow lace me to these, lace lyrical, these dishes lyrical dishes in your bushes. In your bushes.
What a terrible,
terrible thing to say. Just can't imagine that I was just a young teen singing that fill with all of my heart.
And my father knew. He knew.
And I was just so, I'm so like... it really gives me great anxiety to know that I'm going to be an esteemed scholar some point in my life at like 70 years old. And I'm going to be sitting somewhere in my tweed St. John's knit jacket and 15 brooches. And I'm just going, somebody's going to play that beat and I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to be talking about lyrical dishes in your bushes.
Well,
and just embarrass all of my ancestors.
I'm going to actually bet you $25 that when you do your first TED Talk, I need you to open up with, allow me to lace these lyrical dishes in your bushes.
My mic sounds nice. Check one. Check two. My mic sounds nice.
Mic check one, two. It's on.
Oh my gosh. Checker for the one, two, checker.
Yes, what a time.
Oh, praise the Lord, niggas.
Praise
them every
day. Welcome
back to Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. I'm Kia.
I am Jade.
And we are here to talk about the scam that is adulting, the good, the bad, the ugly, the test, the trials, the twists, the turns, the temptations, and the taxes. Shout out to Ron Isley of being a real live adult. In the year of our Lord 2019, what's cracking?
Ain't nothing, sis. We are back doing this again, and we're here in good spirits. Had a good weekend, so we're coming off of that. I had my mom moment. Noah had her recital, her second recital. And so I was super, super, super proud. I also got to spend some sister time this weekend. Our sister Nikki came in town and we went out and we got to be bougie for an evening and all that. She made us put on shoes. Key was out here looking like the beautiful green people of the Wiz.
No, that's what Ciara looked like at the Met Gala.
That is what she looked like out of the thing.
And I was like, I've got to be seen. Green. Would it be called dead?
Red.
It's my favorite movie of all time. You cannot just say that. You can't say those lyrics. Like, just, you have to say it. I've got to be seen. Green.
Would it be called dead?
In the red.
And then you got to dance.
I just love it. I love the grandeur and the drama.
I love the grandeur and the drama of Black people in general. But how was your week, your weekend, all of that, all of that?
I mean, no complaints. It's all good in the hood, man. We working, we doing what we got to do.
Amen.
You know, we don't have no complaints. Ain't nobody listening no way. So we might as well just keep on with the keep on, you know.
That's it. Ain't no complaints. Racks in the bank. Fuck what you think. Well, we got trash to get into. I mean, Kia is so tired and it brings me joy.
We got trash to get to. So let's go into it with haste.
All right. So it's trash time. Let's go on and take it out. So, sis.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to see the Red Table Talk with...
No.
Okay.
I do not. I do know that the whole internet is upset. All of you Blacks on Al Gore's internet is mad with Aisha Curry right
They
now.
Are. And they usually are.
And I don't understand. I don't know what she said. I do know that she has a tendency to say unseemly things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like just kind of observing, having not seen what she said, I've heard it. I mean, I've heard, you know, just kind of like I've got it secondhand, but I haven't watched it for myself. So I don't have like the contextual information that I need to make to have an opinion. But I will say this. I feel like there's, you know, on this kind of social media thing, we as a people have got to be careful. Because I think we confuse popularity and visibility with authority or expertise, right? So I feel like when I'm reading all of this critique of Aisha Curry, one of the things that is present in my mind is that I wonder if we are holding Aisha to a higher standard than we should. Because I know she kind of postures herself as, I don't even want to say that because I don't know that for sure, but I feel like people kind of put her in this place where she is a role model or a model of sorts. And I don't feel like, you know, I agree with that. And I'm just very careful because I feel like the internet popularity, notoriety has a tendency to give people credibility that they did not earn. So I'm reading all of these things, all this commentary about what Aisha Curry said and what is just ringing in my soul. And what the question that I just cannot seem to shake is like, why do we care? Like, why have we given Aisha Curry so much? I know that she has said things that, you know, people disagree with, but her and everybody else, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, I don't know why people expect different from Aisha Curry, because she's always been who she is.
Right.
And that's not me having a judgment of her. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like I know enough about her to feel one way or another, but she's always, if nothing else, she's consistent. So why do we feel like we hold, like it's, I don't know. We get all worked up about her and hold her to a standard that she's never met. As far as kind of like being objective, right? I feel like she views all things through the lens of her lived experience. Who she is who she was absolutely trained and socialized to be. Mm-hmm. So why is it that we expect her to speak to the experiences of people that she don't know nothing about. Like, Aisha Curry is living the life she was groomed to live.
Yeah. So I watched it because, okay, you know, I saw the internet ablaze and I had 30 minutes in between recording JNXD and recording Get Grown. So I said, let me watch this so that I can form a sound opinion.
Okay.
On what's happening here, right? I agree with everything you said. I don't feel one way or the other about Aisha Curry. I think that the memes and the gifs about her are absolutely hilarious. And that's just the child in me. But outside of that, like, that girl, I don't know that girl. So I don't have no opinion about that girl. I watched the thing. And I know, like you said, she said some unseemly things in the past, you know, where you just kind of be like, what? I didn't see anything worth attacking. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying anybody's ever worth it, but I didn't see anything like that would sent me into a, oh, bitch. Like,
yeah,
I felt like
she talks about her experience a lot. And I'm like, well, why can't we just let the girl talk about her life as she lives it?
Because the thing about it is, how are you going to speak on other people's experiences if you don't have them?
True. I mean, I just feel like, okay, y'all want to be mad with Aisha? Hey, have your fun. I just don't
look at what she says. Like, just, all she spoke about in the thing was, she talked about, because they were talking, it was her, and that was another, like, misleading thing. And the internet gets ablaze, and then they don't give all the facts. I didn't realize, I thought it was a sit-down with Aisha Curry, and then, you know, the Pinkett's. And... Pinkett
Smith.
Nah,
but it was like somebody else. It was her mom. Was it her mom?
Mother-in-law.
Her mother-in-law.
Steph's mother. It was Steph's sister. And it was their other sister-in-law-to-be who just got engaged to one of the other brothers. Like, it was all of them.
Well, apparently, why do we need to talk to them?
Well, because the whole thing was about being the wife of an athlete and some of the challenges that you face. And with Steph's father having played basketball, his mother grew up, having a husband who played basketball. And then Doc Rivers' daughter actually is the sister-in-law who is engaged to Steph's brother. And then Steph's sister is there, and she's also married to a ball player. So all of them are married to ball players. And so it was talking to them. They were talking to them about the challenges of being the wife of a ball player, about feeling like, you know, how you don't want to disappear. And, you know, you want to have your own. You want to have your own money. You don't want to look up and your children are grown and you haven't done anything for yourself. And which are all valid things. And then they said, well, how you deal with the groupies? Like, how you deal with, like, you know, the women? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how do you feel about that or whatever? And she was honest about her experience, what bothers her, how she handles it, how she handles, you know, how she feels like a lot of times she doesn't have personal space and how people have invaded that. You know what I'm saying? Also, there she's got an experience that, like, me or you does not have. She said that she never had any racial issues whatsoever. Like, she never experienced any sort of anything because she grew up in Canada and then came over here as a teenager.
Okay.
So it's like, I can't be mad at this girl for how, you know, her life or her opinions on her actual life. You know, if she speaks as an authority where she says women need to dress like this, okay, there's a problem there.
Fair. Right.
But if she's speaking right now about her experience and they're asking her questions about how she feels about stuff in her life, who am I to get mad at that?
Yeah, I just feel like we get really upset and we kind of what blew me away is that people were regarding her commentary as if she was a spokesperson for all of us. And I'm just like, Aisha Curry ain't never spoke for me.
I didn't grow up with a white mother.
I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Aisha Curry is always speaking on behalf of Aisha Curry. And I feel like we give people with large platforms a lot of flack because there is a responsibility when you do have that level of visibility. Mm-hmm. But like I was saying before, visibility does not always equal authority or credibility, right? So it's like, having a platform doesn't make you kind of like an authority or a model figure. It just makes you a person who says things that a lot of people hear. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that comes with that. So I just feel like I wasn't expecting the internet to blow up you ate.
I didn't see the reason for people to be so big mad. Like, I really just didn't. I was like, I don't know. I mean, I know Hit Dogs Holler. Like, are you all part of the Tragic Mulatto Militia?
I feel like, was it ironic? Isn't it a little bit of irony that, I mean, because I think people are saying that it is a little bit of her eating her words because of some of the things that she said about, like, you know, modest clothes or women not wearing exactly. modest clothes. And then her kind of saying that she doesn't get attention. People are like, oh. So, but I do feel like...
laugh at that, though.
Right,
why are you
but I
mad?
Do feel like, I feel like, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinions about it, but I don't know that it is something that I expected to be as large an issue as I feel like it's been, at least according to my timeline. I signed on after work, or as I was, like, wrapping up at work. Maybe between like 6 to 7 o'clock. And I was just like, why is everybody is mad? Like, what? Okay. I was just like, I don't know what Aisha said, but y'all feel ways about it. And then like, you know, people started telling me, you know, what was going on. And I said, you know, I haven't had an opportunity to watch yet, but I'm going to try to make a point to watch the video at some point. But from what I gathered so far, I don't know that I was seeing why the people were in a bag.
I don't see why the people were in a bag. And I mean, and yes, there is the iron knee, is that of her speaking about women, like you said, women wearing modest clothing and then wanting attention. But at the same time, maybe look at it from another standpoint. It's refreshing that she's even being honest enough to say, like, yo, I'm this married woman. I got these kids and shit. But like, sometimes I want a nigga to look at me. you know what I'm saying?
That's,
like,
I mean, that's totally
fair. I'm like,
fair.
Why? You know, and now if you all are mad because of the modest clothing, well, she didn't say like, well, maybe I need to set my titties out.
Yeah.
Because then I could be, right. Y'all could be like, well, what the fuck?
Right. But, so I don't feel like, yeah. So, I mean, I guess I see it, but it's just not as black or white an issue for me.
Same. That's, but I just thought it funny.
I'm just like, okay, y'all. Okay.
But in the same vein.
Okay.
But different.
Oh, Lord.
Blackish has been renewed for a 6th season.
Okay.
Yes, congratulations to the cast. And then they now have another spinoff.
Okay.
That will be called Mixed-ish. It will be the backstory of Rainbow as growing up as that hippie child that she was raised as.
I'm all set. Thank you so much.
Yes. So, right. But Tracee Ellis Ross, you know, Mixed Dish is not my favorite. It's not my favorite concept. And it's not my favorite name.
I just feel like, okay. You know, I need to give it a chance. I wouldn't say I'm annoyed, but I'm just like, nah.
You're right. Mixed Dish is just like it's just kind of an off-putting name, I think. The backstory of Rainbow Johnson. Yes, the people's different experiences need to be told. Of course, I think the name is just a bit unsavory.
It's whack.
But
I don't like
the Mixed-ish. You know, person who is behind Tracee Ellis Ross is actually going to be an executive producer for the first time. So that's something that we can celebrate.
We stand a working queen.
Absolutely,
we stand.
We love our black queens. And then indeed. I guess if we're just gonna keep marching right through this mulatto militia. Okay. Meghan Markle had her baby.
Sure did.
I just keep the top of the trash mad light skin that we just
baby.
Get to it. So she had a baby. We don't know the name, correct, Ray?
We don't. But we know that the little booger was 7 pounds and 3 ounces.
Oh, a healthy baby. Mm-hmm. A healthy baby. Congratulations to the first black lady of the royal court and her family.
Meghan Markle. First of her name.
Queen of all biracials.
He is so in. Holy God.
She had a baby. Congratulations to the family.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Let's see. What else? Okay, so there's a student by the name of Thomas Torres Mayo Torena.
Okay.
Who was pulled over in Tucson, Arizona, and taken by Border Patrol. And this is 3 weeks before his high school graduation.
Gotcha.
So more than 100 students in his high school in Arizona walked out in protest to the Pima County Sheriff's Department because they said it's not right that their classmate is not getting to graduate and that this is happening to him. So, you know, I just thought that was something that was
my kind of carrying on.
Yeah, something that's worth mentioning. And I really hope that things turn out for Thomas. You know, I'm just, I'll be trying to, this government at this point, like, gives me, they just give me anxiety. I sometimes just shut down and don't even know what's going on. Unless I, like, I have to tune myself in at this point because it is just so distressing every time I look at the news.
So distressing.
Common opened up about sexual abuse in his childhood.
Really?
Yeah, he has a new memoir coming out called Let Love Have the Last Word. So he has that coming out, and he spoke about encountering sexual abuse by a family friend as a child. And it started on a family trip. So I hate to hear that, but it, you know, it is, I don't know the right word. I don't want to say refreshing, but it's necessary when Black men speak up as well about the sexual abuse that they encounter, because we know that it's not always as focused on or taken as seriously sometimes. And it's important that we see how this affects all of us in our community and how it kind of perpetuates cycles and whatnot. So I appreciate him speaking out about this and speaking up and putting that out there for us to read, because I think that it's important.
Agreed. Before you move forward, can we backtrack just a little bit?
Yes, we can.
Because I something came across my timeline that I wanted to present to the trash.
Okay.
So CNN, in light of the announcement of, you know, the royal baby's birth, ran a story in response to the announcement, and the title of the headline of that particular story was "How Black Will Royal Baby Be," which is ever problematic. So I just wanted to shout out Soledad O'Brien for calling out the CNN for posting this disgusting and incredibly insensitive headline. So really the headline directed readers to an analysis labeled "Don't Use the Royal Birth to Trot Out a Dangerous Myth" and urged people to turn the baby into another great mixed race hope. So yeah,
is the appropriate segment for that.
Indeed. So CNN, that's just a mess.
CNN, so, AKA the new Fox News.
Yeah,
because like, what kind of shit is that?
I mean, you know, she just kind of called CNN out for not having enough people of color, you know, at the right tables making decisions. Someone could have stopped this headline before it broke, and really just kind of made the network aware of how inappropriate it was.
I'm disgusted.
I too. CNN's lack. She said the NAACP also made a statement saying CNN's lack of Black representation in leadership roles is troubling and another example of the media industry's reluctance to address an issue that continues to plague newsrooms across the country. Out here being trash.
Mm-hmm. Out here just thinking and ranking. Yes. Well, ew. Well, in more other weird news, Raspberry Beret is joining the cast of Love and Hip Hop Hollywood.
To do what exactly?
I don't know. Cry? I'm not sure. That's not nice. Okay. I just feel like the young man is quite troubled. He doesn't look well. And I heard he's not doing well on this tour. I heard all of the other B2K members are in tip top shape, you know, snap crackle and popping all over the stage, pop locking and doing whatever they do. But I heard he's not doing very well, and he doesn't look very well when I see him.
Is he? Oh, well, I hope he's all right.
I hope so too.
Some people, you know, and I
yeah, that noise.
I just right.
That is such a mood.
I just. Okay, I think that's all I have to say.
You sure? Because I feel like there's a lot more heaviness up underneath that noise that you just made.
Raspy, like, okay, sis. Like, all right.
I know. All right. And I, you know, it's complicated because I know, you know, some of the allegations that he's made in the past and like, and then it, I don't, it's just hard. You know what I'm saying? He's made these, said these things, and then he said that these things have happened to other people, and then other people are like, yo, I don't know what this dude is talking about. And then he just doesn't look well. Like it just, it, I just want to make, I just hope that whatever he needs, he gets.
Agree.
And I don't feel like Love and Hip Hop is it because Mona Scott Young is the devil. Lastly, on the trash, I figured I'd save the fun stuff. The Met Gala.
Indeed.
So who are your favorite looks?
Well, we must speak Billy Porter's name first.
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost.
I got a kick out of Sierra. I thought she looked really pretty. And I also got a kick out of Janelle Monáe. Mm. J-Lo, I felt like rose to the occasion, as did Alina Waithe. We cannot, you know, not talk about Cardi.
Oh, listen, we cannot. She showed up. Blood clot.
This is so stupid. I mean, it was just a lot. Mother Celine Dion.
Queen of all Jamaicans, but she's not Jamaican.
But yeah, it was, it, I mean, you know, it was an event. I have to admit that I had to really kind of do some research and learn more about the camp theme and what it was about. And now that I have a bit more insight, I don't feel like, you know, I mean, I guess people kind of were insistent upon staying true to themselves. And there were people who were comfortable to really kind of, you know, go there with the theme. And then there were those who tried to like, just give it a nudge. Like people like Regina King and Ava DuVernay. I thought that they looked nice. And, you know, it was just probably as close to camp as they were willing to get.
Probably so. I would imagine. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't mad. Lady Gaga, you know, put on a show.
She definitely thought she had a concert going.
She did. I mean, she made it. She just, yeah, it was a whole lot. Lupita did a good job. I mean, it was, you know, the people were out. I wasn't mad. I thought Gabby and Dwani looked nice as well.
Janelle Monáe was my favorite. Nice. Outside of Billy Porter, of course. Tessa Thompson and her dominatrix look.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. I was remiss in failing to acknowledge Tessa and that legendary braid.
That dominatrix braid that was not
that braid
a slavery
was
whip.
Legendary, honey. It was a braid.
It was a braid and not a slavery whip, guys. Mm-hmm. Sorry for those who misconstrued and didn't see those giant pleather boots that she had on. Big Frida and Sierra.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, Big Frida, my favorite. Name. Yeah.
Janet Mock, I thought, looked amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They said that RuPaul did the Met Gala for the first time, but I don't feel like I saw any pictures of Ru.
So RuPaul was there and I did see pictures. However, he was dressed in a suit.
Oh.
Yeah, he was not in drag. And okay. So
Well, he said he doesn't do drag unless he's paid.
Which is what XD said. And I was like, that's all fine and good. But my nigga, it's the Met Gala. Like, it's nobody's asking you to, like, attend a child's birthday party. Like,
he needs a contract. He is not getting dressed for work.
Bitch, it's the Met Gala.
I mean, I guess, but he has policies. He has a policy.
Then fine. You can just do whatever you came to do and, you know, continue to do whatever you're doing. You know, RuPaul gets on my nerves because RuPaul ain't really here for the black drag queens. So, you know, I feel ways. But like I said to XD, Lena Waithe was here for the black drag queens.
And we speak Lena's name out this beat.
I appreciated the outfit. I know there are varying opinions, but I did appreciate it. I did LOL at the misspell. You know, shit happens. And Lena says she invented a new word.
That's fine.
Invented. Invented.
So, it's okay.
That's all right, because we love Lena. And that was the Met Gala. So that's the trash this week.
Not so bad.
No, but we do have a beautiful shout out.
My sister's popping right now, Lala.
So I love shouting out our women of color who are doing things. This week we have India Henderson out of Houston, Texas, of Canvas MUA. So India, fun fact, is actually the cousin of our sister Nikki of NL Makeup. Excuse me. And India has she's a makeup artist, a beautiful makeup artist. Actually, they work together quite often, and you can find her on Instagram under canvas_MUA. But India has a lip line with lip paint, hydro gloss, and complimentary liners. And so Nikki actually sends a message to us all, and she says, personally, the lip paint and flirt and the gloss and champagne are the bee's knees, and everybody knows Nikki is our favorite makeup artist. So make sure you guys go check out India of Canvas MUA. Support our women of color who are out here doing things. I would absolutely love to have 1 million colors by a black woman who has put out a lip line. Like, so I'm getting ready to go get everything. So make sure you guys check it out. We'll put all of the information in the description box. And also, it was India's birthday last week. So
happy birthday, sis.
How fun would it be for a huge gift to come from the community of black women buying from black women? I think that's absolutely beautiful. So again, you'll be able to find all the information in the description box. That's canvasmua.com and canvas_MUA on Instagram.
Sure, you're right. Also, too, as well, in the interest of supporting black women in business, I was made aware that it is Black Business Week here in the district. And, you know, just in the way of that, I had my 6-month cleaning with my favorite dentist, Dr. Takesha Preston of Dimples Dental Suite. She's right in D.C., and it's really just like the most kind of, It's the wealthiest dental experience I've ever had. If you are looking for premier dental care, I talked about it on my stories earlier today. If you are looking for premier dental care and just to get your gums treated like a wealthy white woman, you need to go and visit Dimples Dental Suite. It's dimplesdentalsuite.com, or you can find Dr. Takesha Preston on Instagram. Make sure you check her out. Make sure you tell her that Takia sent you. Go get your, good clean gums are the way of the Lord. Now we only get one set of teeth. So we've got to do our due diligence to care for these jokers before they kickball change out of our mouth. So
you don't want the periodontal to sneak up on you.
You do not. So everybody check out, the shout outs this week. Make sure you support, what is it?
Dimples.
Dental Suite, but I was talking about
Canvas MUA.
Yes, Canvas MUA, but what's the lip line called? That's what I knew it was Canvas.
It's all under Canvas.
Oh, yes. Make sure you cap the lip products for Canvas MUA, and be sure that you support Dimples Dental Suite in DC.
Yes.
Good job.
All right, let's move on to the kitchen table talk.
As you start getting ready for the summer, there's a better choice for those hot, sweaty days, aluminum-free coconut deodorant from Kapari. Kapari's coconut deodorant is a cleaner alternative to traditional deodorants. It's vegan and doesn't contain silicones, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, or baking soda. It keeps you fresh with plant-based actives like sage oil and coconut oil. It's great if you've got sensitive skin, if you're looking for a deodorant with a subtle scent, or if you just don't want a bunch of questionable ingredients on your body. Plus, it goes on smooth and doesn't leave behind a sticky white residue. The original scent smells like sweet coconut milk. There's also a fragrance-free version and two new scents, Beach and Gardenia. You never have to worry about running out of deodorant because Kapari offers a subscription. Get it automatically shipped for free with a money-back guarantee. There's no reason not to try. So I have officially been Team Kapari for the last few months now. I'm excited because the summer time is my very favorite season to wear it in. Why? Because should you start to glisten just a little bit, you are out here smelling like a pina colada, and the boys are trying to figure out, well, what is it that smells so delightful and refreshing? So listen,
I love the original coconut scent. I've also tried the beach and the gardenia, and those are pleasant too, but I'm just an original girl. I like smelling like Tahitian treat. So that's my favorite. Go to KapariBeauty.com/grown to save 5 whole American dollars off your first deodorant order when you subscribe. That's Kapari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/grown, KapariBeauty.com/grown.
Big banking is, or should I say was, broken. They charge high fees and use our deposits to fund pipelines and oil drilling, and this greed leaves millions of Americans behind and destroys our planet. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's why lots of people are looking into Aspiration, a financial firm for those who want more money in their pocket and more power to do good. Featured in Forbes, The New York Times, and Money Magazine, Aspiration offers a 2% annual percentage yield, 0 ATM fees anywhere in the world, and the option to choose your own monthly fee, even if it's zero. Plus, Aspiration commits 10% of their earnings to charities that help other Americans and offers extra cash back rewards for shopping at socially conscious businesses. So everyone deserves a financial firm that's fair, provides great products, and helps you make more money while making a difference. Put your money where your heart is. Download the Aspiration app to open an account, earn 2% annual interest, pay 0 ATM fees, and save the planet while you're at it.
All right, y'all. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, sis.
Thank you, sis.
Well, it's Mother's Day week. And while we recognize that, you know, this is a holiday that is kind of, you know, celebrated nationally, we also recognize the fact that, you know, everyone may not celebrate Mother's Day for whatever reason, whether it be you're grieving the loss of your mother through death or through a strained relationship. You know, we recognize that, and we didn't want to alienate anybody. So in we were hoping that we could have a broader conversation about celebrating women, motherly figures in your life. If it's not your biological mother or someone who is in your family or related to you, we just thought we would have a conversation about the ways in which, you know, women and Black women, specifically women of color, just have an intuitive capacity for nurturing and caring for one another. So in celebration of mothers and motherly figures, we thought we would have a conversation about the advice that we've received from our moms over the years. And the things that when we heard her say it the first time, we may or may not have taken it as seriously as we should have. But now that we've done a little bit of living, We can say with great assurance that she was right, and we were wrong. So we thought we would talk about that today, and just kind of give some instances and share some advice that we received when we were younger that we thought was some bull swanky, but we've later learned that it was actual valuable and useful information. So, sis, I'm gonna kick it to you first. What are some of the things that come to mind when you think about kind of the advice that your mother gave or suggestions that she made to you as, you know, when you were in your teens and 20s that you weren't paying attention to then, but you have learned that you should have paid attention to now?
Well, besides the fact of me needing to do more with my credit, as I have said a number of times, and take care of that like a precious lamb, I paid that not a bit of attention. And then I learned my lesson the hard way later on in life. My mom told me my 30s were going to be my best years. And obviously I had to wait until my 30s to find out that they were going to be my best years. But, you know, when I'm younger, I'm like, when you start hitting your 20s and you going out and, you know, you having a good time, you're like, man, I'm living the life right now. Like, this is it. This is lit right now. No, but something about your 30s is much different. Like, it feels different. You feel more settled in yourself and who you are. You even have fun different. Like, and you feel good about having fun. The people who are around you are different. If you're living your life the way that you know you need to be living it or you want to be living it, the people around you are different. Like, it's just a different experience. And I didn't pay it much attention before, but now that I'm sitting staunchly in it, the words ring very loud in my ears. And I'm like, I see what she was talking about. Like, it is. You got to let it's a level up. It's a level up for your 20s. Your 20s, you're figuring stuff out. And while you're having a good time doing it, like, you're confused and you know, you dress ugly and, you know, it's like all manners of things. But when you hit your 30s, it's just, what are the children saying these days? It just hit different. But what about you, sis?
Similarly, I think one of the things that my mother tried to drill into me as a young person was the importance of taking care of myself first and prioritizing myself first in terms of, like, especially financially, paying myself, putting money aside for myself. Every woman needs to have her own money somewhere. And maybe it was because at the time I was being taken care of. Like, I wasn't, maybe because she was giving me this advice as she was, you know, taking care of me and she was my security, my security net to ensure that I didn't have to fend for myself. Maybe that's why I didn't take it seriously. But I really wish that I would have heeded her advice. My mom told me when I was really young, you know, after, you know, when you pay your tithes, pay yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, 10% that you give to the Lord, put 10% of every paycheck in an account and let that be what you pay yourself. And you live off the rest, you know, aside from, like, you know, general savings. But if I think about now, if I would, when she told me that at 18, 19 years old, if I would have started that practice, then my financial situation would be different. And I guess I just always thought that I would have plenty of time. But the reality is, you know, it just hit different now. Like, you know, I really wish I would have had created that security for myself. Because I guess and fully being transparent, like, I guess I just never expected. I mean, I always knew that I could take care of myself and I would take care of myself if I needed to. I guess I never thought that I would have to still be solely taking care of myself at this point. I mean, we getting it done though. Ain't no complaints. But if I would have known then what I know now, I certainly would have been putting 10% of all my little checks away. And just kind of like having that practice. You know, if I would have carried that through my 20s and into my 30s, I think I would have fared better. You know, just think about it. Like, if that could have been like a down payment for my house, right there, just there it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess I was just out here worried about the wrong things.
Well, you completely stole my second one, but it's fine because I can just add on to it.
Okay.
So my mother too instilled so hard in me and my sister for us to be able to take care of ourselves always. That whole paying yourself situation is that's gems. I hope you all wrote that down. But she wanted us to make sure. She was like, "Listen, I'm married to your father. You know, it is what it is. But you all need to make sure that you are always able to take care of yourself, and you don't never tell no nigga all the money that you got."
Oh, that's a word. That's it. That is a word.
She was like, "You put some money away for yourself. You always put a little money away." She was like, "And you never let a nigga know all the money you got because they'll spend it all."
You don't let nobody know. I don't feel like you let anybody know all the money you got.
But she was saying, as close as you can get with your spouse, there still needs to be a cushion there for you to be able to take care of you. And not have to rely on them. And should there ever be a time when it's just you, you need to be okay with it being just you. But she's like, always a nest egg, always put it in there, put it away, and be smart about it. And I was like, and she's right. Yeah. She's absolutely right. Because, you know, I know, you know, there's different types of people on this earth, but you know, your spouse will sometimes, you know, get excited about certain things and they may be like, "Yeah, we got this coming in. We about to do this, blah, 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 blah." And it's like, but wait, we have this to do. But, you know, you just always want to be able to take care of yourself. My grandma told me the same thing. My grandma had 8 kids. And when my grandfather had a really bad drinking problem for a long time, and it got to a point where she had to leave him. And she took them youngest 3 kids and was like, "Yo, I'm out. I'm about to go to my brother's house." And my grandma said she left so that he could get himself together. And he knew that she was serious about her shit, but she was like, I was able to do that because I always set something aside for myself.
Indeed.
So that's definitely something that rings also very loudly in my ears.
Gotta have some move quick on your feet money, just, you know, ready to go, on the ready.
Okay. Yep.
Where you can get to it.
Absolutely.
I had a conversation today with my good sister, Dr. Commodore. Shout out to you, Felicia.
Hey, Felicia.
But we were just kind of talking about, you know, just the show and what we were thinking about doing this week. And she said her mother said something that I thought was worth sharing. And she said, my mom told me when I was in high school that you can never make a grown man do anything he didn't already want to do or was open to doing. And Felicia said, I thought that she was being dramatic, but I have found it to be pretty true. No matter how many cartwheels, headstands you do, or hoops you jump through, none of it makes a man do anything simply because you did it.
Mm.
I was like, well, I mean... Mm. I think that's real. I think a lot of us, it just made me think of, you know, advice that I've always gotten that you can never change a man. That's just real. I think it's a good lesson to pay attention to who people are as we're getting to know them, you know, and, you know, to be in relationships, never to approach relationships with the intention of changing somebody's behavior, because ultimately, like Felicia's mom said, you can never make anybody, especially a man, do anything. I don't think that you can. I think that's good advice. You can't make somebody do anything that they don't want to do or they didn't plan to do in the first place. So just sharing that one.
Ooh, that's a word. That is a word. I think the next thing is, my mom told me that girl's not my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
I got that one too, loud and clear.
Some of them were, but a lot of them were not. and I didn't figure it out until years later, certain things would happen, you know, and then as I get older now, I can recognize certain behaviors that are unsavory. And it also helps me to really, really, really appreciate the people who are in my life now and all the women who are in my, especially the women in my life, my sisters who are in my life, they're very important to me. And I can see how those relationships hit different now, you know, having a little bit more perspective as opposed to being younger and not really listening like that. But she told me these certain people were not my friends and they weren't. And I learned lessons, you know, I learned lessons hard ways and sometimes had to learn it myself, you know, through my own experiences. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does help me to like really appreciate the people that I have. I really do. And I say it often because I really feel it. I'm very grateful for everybody who's in my life. And I'm really, really grateful for the sisterhood that we've all built together. It means a lot to me, and it's different now. Like, it's a different type of sisterhood than what you have with people in your 20s. There are people who you take with you into your life, but or through your life, but there are a lot of them who fall off.
Yeah, that was the way my mom framed it. It was just like, you know, I know you feel like these people that you are with now are the people that you're going to be with forever, but, you know, friendships don't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I thought that she was hating at the time, but I have learned that, you know, you go through phases where, you know, there are seasons, like the old cliche says, there are some people in your life who are, you know, like leaves on the tree and they fall off when the seasons change. And there's people who are roots and branches and they stick around through different phases and growth cycles. But I think my mom was really keen on helping me to be okay and comfortable with transitioning in and out of relationships, and by cultivating that space with me by encouraging me to be okay with being by myself. Because and that's something that I didn't really come to appreciate until much later, but she was right. Like, absolutely. You have to be able to enjoy your own company. If you don't enjoy being with you, it's really hard to get other people to enjoy being with you. And not to develop relationships out of a place of loneliness or desperation, but because you actually, you know, because that you know, doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't mm-hmm. serve you and it doesn't serve them. So, that's dope. More practically speaking, I remember being a teenager, and you know, when it was around the time to do house chores, my mother told me that I should develop the habit of doing a little housework every day to help me manage, you know, all of the responsibilities of keeping a home. And when I tell you that I am filled with woeful regret that I did not take heed to that advice as I sit in the Himalayas of growth of laundry that surround me. I am surrounded by mountains of laundry.
Grand Canyon out this bitch.
I know that you know, I'm not proud to say that. I'm grateful
reality.
To say that all of yeah no but I'm saying I'm all the clothes that I have on are clean, but I'm just saying that there's lots of laundry around, and then mm-hmm. I regret not cultivating that practice of doing a little bit of housework every day so that I'm not inundated with all of my clothes at one time.
Niggas be tired, you know what I'm saying? Like, niggas come home and we be exhausted and it's hard sometimes.
It's stressful though, because I can imagine though, this is where I find myself shaming, right? Because I think about my mom. When my mom was my age, she had two children.
Yep.
Looking at her, hungry all the time. And I'm sure she was tired. Like, I'm certain. I mean, thankfully she had help. You know, my grandparents and my aunts and uncles were there to help. And we were all, most of us were staying in my grandparents' house at the time. So, you know, there was a division of labor, so to speak. But it's a challenge navigating that, right? Because, you know, and y'all know me, I work long hours, you know, and I got lots of jobs. And I will say that the last thing that I feel like doing when I come home is washing clothes, but it has to be done. Mm. So I have to kind of like manage myself around that. And unfortunately, I'm not able to, you know, go to my mother for support and advice in that place, in that way, because she's, you know, not entirely sympathetic. But, you know, we're working on it. We're dealing with it.
I'm grateful that my mother taught me how to properly clean a house.
Oh, I mean, I know how to do it.
Sis, I don't think you understand that I got the Swiss Alps of motherfucking laundry going on right now. Like, you are not alone, as much as I hate that creepy ass song. I'm just glad. Like, I think I started taking it on. I always kept a clean house, but I really take it to heart now. I think especially because, you know, everything in my home are things that I've worked really hard to have and so forth. So I make a real strong effort to, you know, wipe behind appliances, bleach out sinks. Always did that. But like wiping, I'd be down, like, you know, cleaning baseboards and whatnot, like really taking pride in my home. And I'm grateful for my mother for teaching us, even when it was irritating and there was other things that I wanted to be doing and we were deep cleaning on a Saturday. I'm grateful that she had us doing that. Because now I know how I want my home to be and what feels good. And I know how to get that done. Because there's a lot of people. There's people who keep a nasty house, but then there's people who truly don't know how to clean. It's fascinating.
Wow.
It's fascinating. Did you see that debate on Twitter a couple weeks back? One of these millennials said something about, one of these younger millennials said something about people being nasty because they wash their hair in the kitchen sink.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, well, what other way? Where else are you supposed to wash it? Like, I don't understand this. Like, I don't have no other experience outside of getting my hair done in the kitchen.
That's generational gaps.
Did they stop doing that? Because I definitely do Noah's hair in the kitchen.
I just feel like that's like a rites of passage for young Black women, young Black girls, young little girls of color.
I really do. I feel like this is a thing. We all got up on the counter, and then when you got too big to get up on the counter, you had to lean over the sink. Some of us had that rubber hose attachment where you put it up to the sink.
That was a luxury because my mother used to take a big cup or a container, like a sherbet container.
Yes.
And she would have it sitting on the side of the sink to assist in the
head
rinsing.
About 12 times.
So good. And I mean, I was dramatic. So I used to have like,
it's in my ears. It's in my eyes and my face.
My mother used to, because I mean, the water would run over my face and it would give me anxiety.
Yes. So
I would think that I was drowning.
Yes.
And my mother used to give me a washcloth to put over my face. Like, and she would be like, just hold it. So, I mean, it would help me to catch the water so that I wouldn't be like, thinking that I was going to drown. And
my mom would pop me in the head with the comb because she'd be like, you are not about to drown in a sink.
if you had a hose, you was doing good. Y'all was fancy.
No, we didn't have the hose growing up. My mother didn't get the hose till I was about 13. And I was like, where has this been all my life? Because we had grown up with the big cup and the rolled up towel. Listen. So when you were small enough to lay on the counter, my mother would roll the towel up, put it at the edge because you know the back of your neck be killing you.
That neck.
And then when I had to start leaning over the sink, she would put the towel.
I remember leaning like this way.
So yes, yeah. Leaning this way.
Yes, indeed.
And she would roll the towel up and tell me to put my face in. And she's like, I don't want to hear your mouth about drowning in a kitchen sink anymore.
That was me. I'd be like,
say.
And she would be like, Takiya, please. Can you?
She's like, girl.
I'd be like,
you are too big for this thing.
It's going in my nose. It's going in my nose.
My ears, it's going in my face. I can't breathe. It's going down my throat.
I just want you to just calm yourself down.
Oh God, these are good times, and they are good Black times, and I am very grateful that I have the experience. And for all of those who think it's nasty, if there's a younger generation here and your mother just so happened to not wash your hair in the kitchen sink, and you feel ways about people getting their hair washed in the kitchen sink,
clean your sink.
This is what I'm trying to say. Like, your mother must not have taught you how to bleach out a kitchen sink when you're done with it. Like, I am of it, and I don't want to hear nothing from the health nuts about bleach. I love me a good natural cleanser. Y'all know I live for an essential oil, and I believe that it has multiple usages. However, your girl's never going to stop using bleach. Bleach is an essential part of my household. It is a key part of my Blackness.
Oh my
it gosh. Makes my teeth white. It makes my skin glow.
So. Good times. Good times.
Great times. But yes, make sure you take this time to celebrate. Did you have another one, sis, or were you?
No, I'm good.
Make sure you take this time. So if, like Kia said in the beginning, if you have, you know, difficult relationships with your mother, or you don't have your mother is not with you in fleshly form anymore, or what have you, you know, we're here with you. We definitely want to acknowledge. We want to acknowledge all of our different experiences, and don't ever want anybody to feel excluded or like they're not being recognized. But take that time, like Kia said, to take motherly figures in your life, people who have had an impact on you and have taught you things that maybe you didn't quite listen to, whether it be a grandmother, an auntie, a big sister.
Somebody,
you know,
down
saying?
To the church or the community center or the Boys and Girls
Whatever.
Club. Somebody who gave you a dollar for the ice cream man. Just
might be
somebody.
The lady, the candy lady, you know what I'm
you
with,
know
the
what
pickles.
I'm
it could be anybody in that form. But there's been somebody in your life who has made an impact and has said things to you that might resonate with you later. And we just want to take the time to celebrate those.
Absolutely.
And we have honesty boxes to get to, so we can roll along.
With more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes, Third Love designs bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Just answer a few simple questions via Third Love's Fit Finder quiz to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Then, thanks to Third Love's 100% fit guarantee, you can wear, wash, and put your bra to the test for 60 days. And if you don't love it, you can return it. Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you'll own, with straps that won't slip, tagless labels, and lightweight, super thin memory foam cups.
Y'all, Third Love. Okay, so, you know, titties come in emotion. Some of them are sad. Some of them are happy, really True. Excited. Some of them are just meh, you know, like how we feel on certain days. They're just, you know, just kind of sitting where they sit. Third Love has a bra for every, if your titties are praying mantis, if they are going opposite directions, if you got, you know what I'm saying, northeast, southwest titties, it don't even matter. Third Love has a bra for you. I got my Third Love bra on right now. See, sis, I just showed Kia.
I love it.
I love it. My my Flash straps me. Have not Flash fallen me the entire, there you go. Look, titties. I literally have not had to pull my bra straps up the entire time we've been recording. It's absolutely wonderful. Your girl lives for Third Love. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/grown now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/grown for 15% off today.
Honestly, truly.
All right. We got an honesty box to get to. Let's go ahead and give our listeners pseudonym. Sis, what would you like to call her?
Let's call her Sherry Ann.
She too is Jamaican. I think our listener last week might have been Jamaican as well. Sherry Ann says, "Hey, Jade and Kia, first off, let me say that the both of you always help me get my whole life together. Listening to y'all every week keeps me sane in a world of crazy caucasity happening all around me. I swear y'all are my big sisters in my head. Please don't stop doing the great things that you all are doing. Thank you, Sherry Ann."
Sherry Ann.
Anyway, I'm writing y'all about the ridiculous caucasity that happened to me at my job last week. All right, so pause, guys. If you happen to have liquor around you, let's make this fun. I want you to take a shot for every time she says caucasity. Okay, and go. I'm writing y'all about the ridiculous caucasity that happened to me at my job last week. I came in one morning to find two natural hair care products on my desk. One was some Diva Curl oil and the other was from Carol's Daughter. Specifically, it was Carol's Daughter 4-in-1 Combing Cream. I was livid, needless to say. There wasn't a note or anything referencing who left it there and why. I knew it was one out of two people here that would even have the caucasity to do that. Ding! Mind you, I'm the only black girl in my office and I don't really get down with them like that. I've been at this job for about 2 years and I can really only think of maybe one or two times that I've mentioned my hair, so I'm still confused why she would even think that this was okay. I typically only have really light conversations with them. Eventually, I ended up throwing the products out after finding out who it came from. One of those I have friends of all races people. Mm. We all know that person. I'm still not sure if I should say anything to educate her on how racially insensitive this was, because every time I think about it, I just get annoyed. Seeing that I'm the only black girl in this office, I feel this could easily blow up in my face and I would be viewed as the angry black woman.
Oh, girl.
Facts. It would just irk me even more for her to make it seem like it's not that big of a deal, even though it is to me. I'm pretty sure she meant well, but that just irritated the hell out of my spirit. I'm really considering quitting here for the last year, but the way these raises are set up, I'm going to have to stick it out. So I'd really love to hear what you guys think about the situation and what I should do. I kind of feel like it's not my job to educate on stuff like this, but I also don't want anybody else to try me again. By the way, she said she'd brought the products for herself, but they were too heavy for her hair. Oh. Side eye. Child, she barely had more hair than a newborn baby, so I don't know why she even bought it in the first place. I really appreciate the input, Sherry Ann. Oh, well, there wasn't as many caucasities as I thought. Yeah. Well, I hope you all enjoyed your two or three shots.
Oh, man, this is a lot. I think, well, you asked me what I think about the situation. I think this is some grade A bull swanky.
I also think that if it were me, I would have to at least once get the people told. I think I don't feel like I could not say anything. I would have to address this person and just let them know how inappropriate it is to leave natural hair products on my desk. Mm-hmm. You don't know how suggestive it, I mean, it's just, it could be perceived in a lot of different ways. So, I think you should just be prepared for whatever response. I wouldn't even go in with the expectation that it was going to be well received, but it's just a matter of just getting it out there into the air so that people know that it's not something that you appreciate and it should never, mm-hmm. ever happen again. I would have to say something. I don't feel like I could not say anything. And as far as your comment about being perceived as an angry Black woman, I mean, you're going to be perceived as an angry Black woman regardless of how you react to this.
I mean,
because you know, the white woman that did it is probably going to white woman her way.
You know, she is
out of this.
She going to Daenerys her way right through it.
She is going to cry. And, you know,
trying to give you a gift.
When she learns that you were offended, she's going to cry. When she learns that how you perceived it, she's going to cry.
Or she's going to do the opposite, which is going to piss you off. She's going to act like it's no big deal. She's like, I bought those for myself and they didn't work. And I really thought that you might be able to use them.
Why? Because I'm Black? Okay. Right. So,
bitch, that's fine. I need combing cream. See, this is why. HR, electric chair.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, if it were me, I would just have to say something to those people like, hey, man, don't ever do this again. If you do, there will be other consequences and repercussions. Because what's going to happen is if you do have to go, let's say this is something that continues, unfortunately, and you do have to report it. You don't want to give anybody the space to say that they didn't know that you felt away. That's just how you have to cover all your bases in that way. And I just like to take away that possibility that somebody's going to hit me with I didn't know. It's like, okay, sis, well, now you know.
Yeah, I don't think you can pass this one by. I think you're going to have to say something. And there's a way to say it. And there's a way to get her very learned. Learned is a way to let her know about herself. And like he has said, you know, unfortunately, at some point or another, that people, they just gonna do what they do. So I think if in order to try to avoid anything like this happening in the future, because there's going to be certain things that you're just not going to be able to avoid. In order to avoid anything like this happening in the future, you got to nip this in the bud right now.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and let that lady know why all the ways in which she had you fucked up and why. You can do it in a very corporate and professional manner because we don't want you to lose your good, consistently raised job.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that helps. Please keep us updated. Let us know how things turn out if you so happen to have a conversation with this lady. We'd be very interested to know how everything works out for you, Sherri-Ann.
Sherri-Ann.
Continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
My petty peeve. So, you know, I am so, so excited that our new building has a laundry room in it.
Nice.
Very, very grateful. I have not lived in a building with laundry in about almost 10 years. So I'm very grateful to have a building with laundry. I go down one evening, you know, and I understand that, you know, if people are heeding the advice that their mothers are giving them, they're probably there's somebody in there at least doing a load, which means there's going to be a couple people in there, right? It's not a huge laundry room, but it's a laundry room nonetheless. I go in and there is a family filling up 5 washing machines with their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are 2 available machines. Now, the rest of the people in there are drying. There's nobody else coming in. I just need 2 machines. Y'all already got 5 of them filled.
Mm-hmm.
So I start putting my stuff in one because they're not very big. So I have to split it. And then one lady comes and she takes her stuff out of the last available machine, the last machine that's about to become available. And these niggas go for the big six. So I stopped putting my stuff in the wash and I look over and I was like, because I was, they saw me getting ready to approach to put my stuff in there and they run over there. And I was like, are y'all about to put your stuff in a six machine? And they're like, yes, yes. So I was like, this is some bullshit. So I was like, you know what? I live here. Like, I'm not even getting ready to fight with these people. I just take my stuff out the machine, throw it back in my laundry bag. It is not. I hate police sirens. Another petty peeve. Put my stuff back in my laundry bag and went back upstairs. I was like, I don't even have the energy to do this right now. But my petty peeve is, be a reasonable person. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we are in a small space, a space of whatever, where things are to be consumed by multiple people, be a nigga, if you have that much laundry, then go to a laundromat. Like, go to a big one. That's what Tristan does, because he generally does the laundry. Like, that's his thing. He will take, if we have more than, if we have the Mount Rushmore that we have right now going on, then he will take it to a laundromat outside with multiple washing machines. Don't go down to the apartment laundromat that has all of 9 washing machines and take up 6 of them, whatever, 8 of them and take up 6 of them. What kind of mess is that? Or take up 7 of them, whatever, however many, whatever it is. Anyway, that's my petty peeve. I'm irritated because I was like, y'all niggas are, this doesn't even make sense. This is not even reasonable.
Well, I have to say that you would probably be really irritated with me because I'm going to take every available wash machine. I'm going to take every one. So if there are 10 down there and I got 10 loads of clothes, I'm using all 10. And what you going to do about it? Not one thing. You're going to wait until I'm finished. Why? Because the amount of rent that I pay to live in this place just entitles me to use each one of these machines if I get down there and ain't nobody else using them. So that's just how I feel. Now, that's right. now, if somebody is down there waiting, if I'm already using, you know, 8 and somebody's trying to use the last one and I see them there.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm not going to do that. But
bitch,
if
I'm literally
get down
standing there. Y'all see me trying to use another washing machine.
I'm just saying, if I get down there, ain't nobody down there but me.
Well, that's
and
different.
I want to use all 10. That's my business.
That's fine. But when you see other people, and it is prime time, nigga. Miguel and Janelle Monae, whatever the name of that damn song is that prime time for laundry?
Yeah, had
like,
to sing it.
Yeah, I did. I had to get it in there. Okay. I had to. But if you see it's prime time and you see niggas are waiting on washers and you already literally have the majority of these washers filled up, then scoot your ass to the side and take that one dirty load up or wait one more time. You already got most of these motherfuckers filled up. You about to get me mad all over again.
You're very upset.
I left up with my dirty sheets and came back up here and was like, this is some bullshit.
I'm very sorry.
What's your petty peeve this week?
Okay, so I am... I just don't like stupid people who, I don't like people who, so I'm thinking today, I was driving. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of entitlement, right? That I feel like I've just been noticing more and more that people have a problem with me just being me. I don't know if this is a petty peeve or not, but I was driving home from work today and I'm in my car and I'm listening to my music loudly because that's what I want to do because I pay my car note on time and I'm grown.
And it's your car.
And it's my car and ain't nobody in the car but me.
Right.
And I would like the record to reflect that all of my windows were up. My sunroof was closed. So it was not like my music was blaring
bitch,
and disturbing.
It's not an airplane. Nobody's sitting next to you.
The lady who was in the car next to me turned around and looked at me as if I had walked off with all of her stuff. And I was just trying to figure out, like, girl, well, who did it? And then I realized that she was upset because my music was loud and she could hear it through my car and through hers. And she was just upset because we were in traffic and it was kind of like close proximity. And I guess she was saying that it was unreasonable for me to be listening to my music in my car at that volume because it was a disturbance unto her. So she started like trying to get, and then I'm petty. So like, you know, she was trying to get like away from me and I was following her because I just, because that's how my petty was set up today, girl. Yes. That's how it is set up today. That's because right. I'm not bothering nobody. And this is my car and I want to do what I want to do.
Your Paul Mooney
like,
on.
Girl, I mean, what you want? Like, what you want? So you want me to listen to my music? Like, what? You're not even in this car. I don't know nothing about you. No, like, what if, you. How, yeah. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take the liberty. You want to take the liberty to be upset? I'm going to take the liberty to not care that you're upset and to even facilitate more upsetment for you.
Paul Mooney said, if a white woman looks at you and takes off running, you better just chase her. I appreciate like you for heeding the advice. Girl, get over yourself. Like, just because you listen to your boring ass audiobook,
she just in there listening Green to Gable NPR, girl. Well, just turn your NPR up, sis.
Girl,
just turn it
up your XM radio or whatever it is you're listening to. Your boring podcast about white womaning, whatever. Like, turn it up, but stop worrying about what's going on. In
it
this
don't have
car
nothing
with all
to do with
the windows
you.
Rolled up and the sunroof closed.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one thing if all my windows were down and I was just, you know, being, you know, that girl. But I was literally in the car by myself. And, you know, I have a choir rehearsal on Thursday. I was listening to my music. I have to get ready.
And, bitch, I'm not sitting in your driveway banging my music. This is
I'm
traffic.
On the street, right.
These
are like, public. What you want me to do?
Ooh, you want to talk about Caucasity? Ding, take another shot. Because when I tell you it is so bad that y'all think that I can't listen to what I want to listen to on the highway, you have
my
got another
is,
level oh, of yeah. trolling coming.
My petty peeve is always people who feel entitled to tell me what to do.
Hmm.
I mean, you can make suggestions. You could ask. Like if I'm or but if you just want to I don't know if I don't know, I just feel like because as a person of color, I'm made to deal with people doing what they want to do all the time. And I just have to eat it. Right. Because I don't have I'm in spaces where I don't have the power and the privilege to move in the ways that I want to move. But in my car, I call the shots. So you don't get to tell me how to live my life.
No. And the only like it's not a. It is one thing when you are living in Flatbush and niggas like to, I think they're putting their speakers like on top of the hoods of their car. I don't know what they're doing.
But yeah, the people who like driving past you, you can hear their music clearly. It's because all their windows are down and they're really just, they're, you know.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
Trying to spread the tunes. And nobody cares.
I'm just living in my preference. And but I feel like I got a right to do that.
Rolled up? Nah.
Yeah.
You can definitely eat a dick.
And I'm gonna follow you all the way up 16th Street because I can.
As you should, and I fully support. I fully support and endorse that. So, with that,
oh wait, I got wait. Oh. This is another one I thought about when I was driving to work this morning.
Please,
one thing you may never ever do to me, and this didn't happen to me, but I felt it for the person in the car in front of me. Now I've talked about on my stories at great length how if ever you guys find out that I went to jail, it's because I hit a bicyclist in the morning on my way to work.
Yes. You told me that.
So there's this one particular intersection where there's like a bike lane. And because there's so many bikes on the road in the morning, because this is how the people are getting to work these days. And I guess that's their right, if that's what they want to do. But there's just such an abundance of people that they all don't fit in the bicycle lane. So they're all spilling out into the street. So it's a stop sign at the intersection and the bikes feel like they don't have to adhere to the stop sign. But they get mad, you know, and you know, they feel like they cars, so they move like cars, but they don't want to follow the rules that cars have to follow.
Yep.
So the car stopped at the stop sign and waited. He had the right of way, so he proceeded, but the bike was there. So I guess the bike figured, I don't know. So she had space to kind of do what she had to do, but I guess she was offended that the car proceeded through the stop sign. And she wagged her finger like she went like this.
I'm sorry. What?
Like she rolled, she cycled up to where like to where she where the car could see her, and she like wagged her finger like tis tis tis, and something inside of me ignited because I was just like, oh Lord, if that would have been me, I know that I would be in the federal prison because I just like are you scolding me? Are you, what is this? Y'all got to pray for me because, you know, I get upset, but.
No, don't scold me.
Don't scold me. Like, don't ever how dare you wag your finger at an adult?
Bitch, if I just you ever think wag that's your so... finger at me, you better be prepared for me to grab that bitch.
Ooh.
And twist ooh. It. I will twist your finger to the point where you will curl down to your toes. You will drop to your knees.
That is the most condescending, patronizing thing. If you wag your finger, if you scold a grown adult.
Nah, you just touched
like,
me.
You're just out here being, you just, ooh, you don't even realize, like who, how are you?
You're in my personal how space and I'm about to grab you? The shit out of your finger.
How dare you?
Don't ever wag your finger. Ooh, look, don't ever wag
you
your
see?
Finger.
You see it happening. I was yo. In the car like, ooh. Now, yo. Lord, now you know. The Lord is a keeper because if that lady would have done that to me, it would have been it. Wouldn't have been no more getting grown.
Oh.
No more teen typing fast. Dr. Kia would have been inmate A67930Z. I was just like, nah.
Oh,
under
no
circumstances.
Do you ever?
Something in me lit up. I was like, whoa, Lord, I'm going to fight.
Woo, couldn't be me. Couldn't be me.
That's what I said.
And that, well, that's a way to end. That's a way to end getting grown. You better be prepared. You wag your finger in somebody's face.
Don't wag
face.
Your finger at me, bro.
You're going to get that bitch taken right off. So, thank you for listening to another episode of us talking about adulting.
We appreciate your patience and all of your constant, consistent support. It is graduation announcements this season, so you guys can start to send in your graduation announcements. We're going to start to read them effective next week's show.
Yes.
We apologize for our tardiness this week, and we appreciate your patience. We're going to be back on track really, really soon. But in the meantime, in between time, sis, continue to go ahead and tell the people what they should do.
Oh, drink your water. Mind your business and moisturize your skin. Why, sis?
Because your black will crack if it's dry.
Adios.
Bye, y'all.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.